of this loads. I don't have any relevant financial relationships to disclose. Okay, thank you very much. So thank you all for coming out this evening to hear me speak on this presentation, Effective Recessionary Economy on Food Choice Among Middle-Aged Women and Children, Implications for Health Education and Services. So I'm sure you all are aware that we're in a recession, and federal reports indicate we've been in a recession since 2007. And during this time, food has increased in cost. So in 2007, the consumer price index for food actually increased by 5.5%, which is the largest annual increase in the last decade. All right, we also know that food choices and diet quality is influenced by economic resources and food costs, where families faced with diminishing income tend to consume lesser expensive foods, which also tend to be lower quality foods and contributing to lower quality diets. Now, given that this is a unique time in history, we wanted to study how the recession had impacted food choice among those who were not chronically low income, but those who were affected by the recession. Effects of the recessionary economy has not really been excessively reported just yet, but previous, and we know that food choice decisions are frequent, multifaceted, situational, dynamic, and change as circumstances shift. Previous research has shown that taste, nutrition, cost, and convenience are the primary determinants of food choice among, you know, more affluent, higher SES women. But the purpose of this study was to identify factors influencing food choice for those who had been affected by the economy. So the inclusion criteria for this study was women aged 25 to 55 and that had faced some type of financial constraint within the last year. So for example, they either lost their job or had an involuntary reduction in hours, or maybe their house was in foreclosure, so something like that. They also had to at least have one child that was less than 18 years old, living in the house with them, and perform at least half of the grocery shopping for their family. Recruitment occurred in the summer of 2009, and we also did the study during that time. This was a qualitative design study, so we did one-on-one interviews lasting for about 45 to 60 minutes. We used a pre-tested, semi-structured interview guide for that interview, and we audio recorded each interview. We then took those audio tapes and had those transcribed by an independent company, and then we took those transcripts and we uploaded them in the Atlas software, which is used for qualitative research, and we created a coding scheme and coded each of the transcripts. Through that, we identified common themes, and then we went back to the transcripts and tried to match quotes that had supported those themes. In all, we interviewed 25 total women. Some had experienced more than one financial crisis in the last year. So, for example, we had women who maybe they themselves lost their jobs and their spouse had an involuntary reduction of hours. In all, 10 of our participants were unemployed, so either lost their job during the last year, and 5 had had an involuntary reduction of hours. And of those 25 women as well, 7 of their spouses were unemployed, and 3 were underemployed. One participant lost their house to foreclosure, another was at risk for foreclosure. But you can see this is a pretty affluent group. Over half had a college degree, a little bit less than half were Caucasian, and only 20% had never married. So through our coding scheme and through our results, we found 4 major themes that I'm going to talk about a little bit more. We found that women were using a variety of shopping strategies that they hadn't used before to save money. We asked them about diet quality. You know, first we asked them to define what a healthy diet was, and then we asked them whether or not they thought that their diet quality had been affected by, you know, experiencing that financial constraint. And then we asked them about resources, you know, if made available, what they could use to, you know, save time and money. So as you can see, participants reported using a variety of shopping strategies that they hadn't used before. You know, the first one, shopping at multiple grocery stores, a lot of our participants said that, you know, in the past they had that one grocery store that they went to that one time of week, and, you know, they had that set schedule that they would use. And now shopping was, you know, an all Saturday morning event. where they would go to grocery store A, then they go to grocery store B, then they might go back to grocery store A because, you know, they were just buying the on-sale items and they wanted a comparison shop. They were spending a lot more time planning these trips. So they talked about, you know, maybe it was a Sunday evening where they'd get all their paper together and they'd clip coupons and they'd go on the internet and they'd compare ads. And, you know, they're spending a lot of time creating these lists for what they were going to eat. Either they were creating, what they were going to eat through, you know, recipe lists, or they were just creating their own shopping lists based on what was on sale. They're using coupons, as I said, including internet coupons, which, you know, they were seeking out. They were really trying to minimize food purchases and minimize food waste. So they really tried to plan for what they were going to eat for that week. And they were buying less luxury food, so things like snacks, desserts, and things like that. Also, dining out was highly affected. They talked about, you know, eating out at, you know, less higher-end restaurants and going more family-style, lower-end restaurants, or maybe just getting fast food and taking it home, and that would be their only time that they would eat out that week. So as I said, we asked them about, you know, what does a healthy diet mean to you? And a lot of them talked about, you know, a healthy diet means eating a variety of foods, you know, not eating the same thing every day. They also said that eating meat, fruit, and vegetables at every meal seemed to be healthy. So, and they also talked about less sugar, fat, and salt being those things that kind of stay away from. Now, they also talked about how fresh or natural foods were more healthy than canned or frozen. So they talked about how they almost saw a spectrum where, you know, the fresh produce was the most healthy, and then frozen, you're starting to get a little bit less healthy, and then the canned fruits and vegetables were just the least healthy foods and, you know, the ones they would like to avoid the most. And they also talked about, you know, sacrificing their own diet for their children. So really, when it comes to whether or not they thought their diet had changed, the results were pretty inconsistent. So we didn't find, you know, one overall theme. We found that 11 believed that their diet had really not significantly changed. So essentially, the effects on their diet had sort of been a double-edged sword, where now they couldn't afford the, you know, less healthier foods, and so therefore they were eating, you know, more healthier foods. And so you can see 8 women reported that their diet had actually improved. So because they were omitting those foods, they were eating a healthier diet. And then 5 did report that their diet had worsened. They said they couldn't afford those healthier foods, and they were really relying, you know, mostly on processed foods, which they perceived as being, you know, high salt, high fat, high sugar, and, you know, not eating fruits and vegetables, you know, almost at all. There were a lot of resources requested by these participants to help, you know, save time and money. You know, a lot of them talked about having the ability to track what they were buying was really essential. So a lot of them would describe, for example, like an Excel spreadsheet where they could go in, they could type in what they bought that week, they could, from that list, they could generate, you know, how much money they're spending per meal, and track that per week to sort of, see whether or not they're saving money or where they're wasting money. Some of them talked about food cooperatives, either, you know, fruit and vegetable cooperatives or meat cooperatives, where essentially they would, you know, give some large sum of money at the beginning of the month and then go and pick up those foods either, you know, every week or once a month. They saw it as a way to save time. So instead of going to the grocery store and spending an hour looking for everything that's on sale, you know, they could go to the store and just kind of pick those foods up all at once. They also talked about, you know, having access to cooking classes would be really nice, having access to learning how to reinvent foods. You know, if chicken was on sale that week and they'd buy, you know, stock up on chicken, it was finding ways to make it so it wasn't like eating chicken for, you know, dinner each night. So ways to reinvent that. Mixing up their diet. However, there were 6 participants that said, you know, there weren't any resources that they could see wanting. So in conclusion, we found that whereas in the past, you know, I talked about taste, convenience, and all these things being really important driving food choice, with this group, we found that price really was that primary factor now that, you know, they were suffering from this resource. Despite less frequent purchase of fresh produce, some were purchasing fewer desserts. So like I said, it seemed to be a double-edged sword. Further research is needed to evaluate the overall impact of diet quality. That's something we weren't able to assess in this study. And we found that, you know, in conclusion, the recessionary economy had really altered their food shopping behavior. So these women were doing things where they hadn't had to in the past, and they were sort of learning how to do something for the first time. And, you know, some women got very anxious because of this. They felt like they didn't have the confidence to cook meals that they had in the past, you know, really relied on those convenient type meals. And then finally, consumers need adequate nutrition education, food preparation skills prior to the occurrence of an economic downturn to attain those obtain adequate and safe foods for active, healthy lifestyle. And so that's it. I can take a few questions if anyone has any. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, with the women taking so much more time to like clip coupons and go to different stores and mm-hmm. you know, spending gas on that,
yeah.
That's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And what kind of things did that take away from? It might have taken away from family time or mm-hmm. from their ability to exercise. Did you
sure.
have any insight on that?
Yeah, some of the women, the question was, so what are the kind of unintended consequences of having to spend all this extra time now, you know, preparing for their food shopping? You know, a lot of the women did talk about where now that they had lost their job or had involuntary reduction of hours, they had a lot more free time to do those sorts of things. So whereas in the past, because they were working so much, they really didn't have the time to do these things. So now they're kind of learning for the first time. When it comes to, you know, whether or not they felt like they were maybe wasting gas because they were going to all these different places, some of them really, when it came to planning out what they were going to do, they had planned out, you know, the route they were going to take, and you know, maybe coming home from work that night, you know, they'd try to go grocery shopping. So they really tried to plan so they didn't waste gas, you know. Yeah. No, not really. I mean, I think that's something that, again, they kind of felt like they weren't really prepared to do. So that would probably be another opportunity for, you know, health education to, I think some of them talked about maybe planting like spices, maybe something more simple that, you know, you can kind of grow and not have to tend to as much, but not the sort of things like tomatoes and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, women were recruited from a lot of different places. We use Craigslist, we use food pantry, we use a lot of different resources, so yeah. Yeah.
Are they using food pantries and other emergency resources?
Yes, some of them were. It was interesting because of the women that we got, you know, it was whether or not you had faced some kind of financial crisis within the last year. So some had faced it 1 month ago and some had faced it 8 months ago. So it was really interesting to kind of hear the progression where, you know, some women kind of saw it at the beginning as sort of this fun activity that, you know, now I've got this time and I can do something that I've, you know, not had the time to do before, where I can learn to save money. And then after, you know, time, you kind of felt that frustration kind of set in that, you know, this was something that was more long term. Because, you know, a lot of these women didn't think that they would, you know, maybe be laid off for 8 months. Maybe they thought that they'd lose their job, but, you know, get the job back within, you know, a month or two. So, yeah. Some of them did talk about going to the food pantry, but, you know, talked about how if they got their job back, it would be the first thing that they would kind of stop doing. So, yeah.
I don't remember seeing this, but did you hear anything indicating that the women might have basically been depressed by this situation, or that the situation was any way interfering with their ability to provide their children the kind of care they needed?
That's a good question. So the question was about whether or not the women were really, you know, facing depression at this point because of this, and whether or not that was affecting the family. You know, that's a really good question. Being able to pick up on that is sort of difficult within a 1 hour interview, 45 minute interview. But, you know, you did get the impression that that frustration, those women who have been facing this for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months, really was starting to affect their personal life. Now, they would talk about how they were doing everything they could to spare their children from, you know, feeling the same effects. So giving up personal, you know, things for to allow their child to continue playing soccer, you know, being part of the team, or being able to pack their lunch with their friends. So I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. Really great topic.